Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi Rose and Benjamin Salas here on IROC Space Radio, and we are finishing up a conversation about Artemis. And like you said, either it has launched by the time you've listened or are listening to this, or it hasn't, but we're still we're really excited about it either way. And we're going to talk about what is on this. It's not, it is going up uncrewed. And I actually have had a few people when I did an experiment actually over this week. I talked to a few people and I said, hey, this is really random, but this is my job. Did you know that there's a rocket going back to the moon? And they're like, no, you know, and overwhelmingly people are like, oh, I had no idea. And I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, maybe on Monday. And they're like, what? And so then I go spew into this whole thing. And then the next thing is like, well, are people on it? No, people aren't on it. And so that doesn't mean that it's less significant, because this is, first of all, this is huge, right? This is our return to the moon. Even if nobody's on it, we haven't had any spacecraft capable of even getting out this far since, what, 1972?
Right.
Something like that.
This is the furthest a human-graded, vessel will ever go for away from Earth.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's going to orbit the moon, but it's actually going to slingshot quite a ways out from the moon and then come back in. And that is going to be, you know, we have so much more technology and cameras than the last time we went to the moon too. So I am really looking forward to that, even if people aren't on it. I saw a little promotional video thing, and they talked about, you know, this is going to be the first time a new generation will have its own Earthrise moment. Granted, it's not someone on there, but you know, we'll see those cameras have that Earthrise moment. And so it's huge. But Kavi is very aware, apparently, of all the not alive but things going on board. We have Helga
there are three life-size dolls, or as an adult would call them, mannequins, that are going up on Artemis 1. We have Campos, Helga, and Zohar. Campos, which I think is named after Arthur Campos, who was an electrical engineer who worked at NASA during the Apollo era. So Campos is going to be sitting in the front seat and has a bunch of accelerometers and gyroscopes on him. And that's going to kind of explain or provide data to NASA about what G-forces and what, you know, the acceleration experience will be of the astronauts who go up. But Helga and Zohar actually are doing something really interesting. They are testing out this new radiation suit that's produced by a company called STEMRAD. And it's a collaboration between the US, Israel, and Germany. So I guess that's why Helga and Zohar. And what's really interesting, I find, about the way that STEMRAD designs its suits is that it's not one size fits all. They're actually specially designed with different radiation protective material, depending on the body type and depending on the physiology. Because human physiology, depending on, you know, all sorts of things like age and gender, it will have different areas that are more or less sensitive. And so they're actually looking to test these suits to see how it will affect female astronauts specifically.
Yeah. Benjamin mentioned that last week too. I just didn't know that it was a special radiation suit that was making that possible. So that's very interesting. That's very cool. And there's also a couple of figurines that are going to be the zero G indicators that we had a fun interaction with the European Space Agency on my Twitter account about. They spoke on behalf of Shaun the Sheep. Benjamin really made a pull for can Shaun the Sheep come visit me, and the ESA replied to us. If you want to share, you were basking in that glory, man.
I was. It's not every day a space agency, any space agency, tells you that you can't have a sheep, but that was me. That was my moment. On Sarah's Twitter, they asked if she posted if anybody had any questions for her interview with Dr. Z. I forget his full name, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Zipperkin.
Thank you. She was interviewing Dr. Zipperkin. Did anybody have any questions? So of course, I had some questions. And one of the questions was, can I have the sheep when it gets back? As a joke. But ESA, took that moment to respond to some lunatic that's asking for the sheep. Said, no, we're going to have the sheep come back and do some debriefing after his mission. And yeah. I thought that was wonderful. And so, of course, I yelled in every piece of social media that I have access to, like, oh, my God, the ESA yeah. wrote me back. Oh, my God, the ESA wrote me back. I can't have the sheep. Yes. I love it. Still want the sheep, by the way.
maybe Sean the sheep will, maybe we can convince him to do an IROC video or a visit, you know, something to that effect. So we have Sean the sheep, that is the mascot representative, I suppose, if you will, for the European mm-hmm. Space Agency. And then we have the return of Snoopy. I don't actually really know the history of the Peanuts in depth with their history with NASA. I know this is not the first time. And Snoopy is making his return. And by the way, I bought my kids little Snoopy, like, backpack clips, like little stuffed animal things. And boy, does that brand carry some markup in how much those little stuffed animals cost. I'm telling you, I just saw it and I was like, that's so cool. And I got it for my kids. And then I was like, hootie, what a how much? So enjoy. They got to pay for that $1 billion rocket somewhere. So that's apparently where, but no, all jokes aside, those are the zero G indicators, which are those stuffed animals. It's usually something of some sort of significance to the astronauts when they are flying up. That is a visual to indicate that they have now entered zero G. And so, like, for example, Inspiration 4, they took up a stuffed animal service guide dog stuffed animal. And that was their zero G indicator for, the St. Jude's Research Hospital. but we also have some experiments and things going up on Artemis. So it's going to actually release some payload around the moon, one of which I know is a light sail that is going to do a very close pass to an asteroid. I'm not really sure what the rest of them are. That one just kind of jumped out at me because light sail technology is still largely underutilized at this point. And so it's very, very cool that NASA is using that for some scientific research. And for those listening who don't know what light sail technology is, that is it's a sail, like a sailboat. Mm-hmm. And it is sailing on the winds of the sun, which are the photons, right? Am I saying? Yeah, right? The photons? Or is it the...
I think the actual thing that's propelling a solar sail is the electrically charged particles that are being shot off from the sun in the solar wind. I don't think it's photovoltaic, but yeah.
Could essentially. Something like that. But yeah, it's sailing on the wind, and that's the easiest way to explain it. And the beauty of these is that it's, as long as our sun doesn't blow up, it's never-ending energy to propel it in a direction. So, you know, it'll go around the Earth, it'll catch its, you know, second wind, if you will, and go whoop, and it'll just keep building up that acceleration. So unless, like, you know, 8 minutes later, it's like, ah, shit. We don't have any energy now.
I'm just imagining the fuel gauge on a solar sail. One side says sun, and one side says exploded. No more sun.
Nothing in between. but for people who think that sounds like a little bit out there, this isn't totally new technology. The Planetary Society actually crowdfunded 2 solar sail missions, and they've tested this technology. So this is very much real, and it really works. And you know, in the future, this would be a very sustainable way of propelling spacecraft in space. In fact, I think the Breakthrough Starshot project, which is this kind of wild idea of sending probes to, you know, getting them up to near the speed of light or significant fractions of the speed of light to, like, you know, send a probe to go to Alpha Centauri or wherever. Mm-hmm. They're using a similar idea where they're basically taking highly powered lasers on the ground and kind of pointing them at a solar sail or a similar technology.
Really cool. It's yeah, the stuff of science fiction, but it's really awesome. Absolutely. Speaking of asteroids too, and she owes me a visit on this show. We have the Didymos.
An asteroid
Ooh. Mission, the DART mission coming up soon. Mm-hmm. Let me look up the date on that. But Joan Marie. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
Yes, I know who Joan Marie is.
She has owed me for like a year now. Hold on. When are we crashing? In September. So it's coming up. She owes me a visit on this show. So I'm going to see if we can get Joan to join in and talk to us about DART. Speaking of asteroids, that is another really big mission that's going to be happening soon, kind of in the throes of the drama of Artemis. This is also something that NASA had put out a call for a NASA social for people to go to that. And so it's kind of getting a little less attention because obviously Artemis, but this is an equally really momentous moment for us to prove that we can basically defend our planet against an Armageddon-like situation, because Bruce Willis he's not capable of saving us anymore. So
he's getting a bit old.
Yeah. He
can't just hop on a rocket.
Yeah. If
we're on the topic of you know, the benefits of NASA technology and you know, investing in space as an ecosystem, you know, for example, saving humanity against asteroids that are coming to kill us. I wanted to just like clear up some of the misunderstandings that people were having, because I'm not sure if you guys saw that there was a whole Facebook thread when I had posted about, you know, why don't people know that we're going back to the moon? And
didn't see the thread though.
It was a dumpster fire. And I think like the main two things that people were pushing back on, because, you know, there are obviously a lot of people who were super excited about it and were aware, and people who weren't aware who were super excited once they found out. But I was hearing two main negative things. One was, oh, you know, why are we wasting, you know, taxpayer dollars on this? And to which I say, like, you know, when you consider the fraction that this is of the US budget, it's just laughable. You're talking like, then I think the NASA annual budget is like $25 billion a year, and the US military budget is like $750 billion a year. So calm down. But the second point is when people say, sit down. But the second point was that, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, it's not just a waste of money, it's we have bigger problems to solve on Earth. And I think that people don't understand just how crucial space exploration is to solving problems on Earth. Like, you need only, you know, you can go to the Wikipedia page for NASA spin-offs to see that things like air and water filtration systems and firefighting equipment and Velcro and GPS and like all of these things that were developed as a spin-off, as a result of space exploration. But yeah, like you were saying, in terms of defending Earth from asteroids, in terms of studying and modeling climate change, and, you know, maybe taking some preventative action, I mean, all of this stuff is so closely tied to space exploration. So that's just, sorry for my little rant, but
like, no.
It's really important.
rant super appreciated, and something I have touched base on this station previously about the benefits of space exploration and how it has helped us on Earth. And I've also seen online floating around, looping this back to Artemis, where people are like, well, why are we sending people? We should just be sending robots. Like, we should not be sending humans. Why are we putting effort into that? And I'm going to give you an opportunity, Ben. Why send people? Why send people and not robots?
If you send a robot, and it can survive way more stresses of the travel than a human can, that's awesome. It's not going to need water or air to survive. It can just do its job. But it's going to move and work and discover things much more slowly. Every movement it makes, every inch that it travels, that's gonna require a signal sent to it, a signal sent back, then to a group of people in the room. They're gonna make a discussion, a meeting, and decide what happens next. There's gonna be slow, incremental progress. You send two curious people down there, they're not going to ask NASA, or they're not going to call back to Houston saying, what should we do? They're simply going to say, I put these three rocks in a bag, I'm bringing them home. They're going to go see, what's that curious thing over there? It's only three steps. They're going to go. They're going to walk around. Something will catch their eye. Of course, they're going to be in constant communication, but they're also going to not only be asking NASA for every little thing they're supposed to do, they're also going to be dictating to NASA, this is what we found. This is a good idea you had, but I'm here on the ground telling you it's not going to work. If we do it this way, we should try it this way, because I'm here. I see the terrain. I understand what's happening. And so sending people there is an absolute big step, especially with one of the loftier goals of Artemis is creating the gateway, which is going to be a possible outpost, which was going to send people further out into the solar system. Well, then you might as well start sending people.
Right. I also want to end that thought as sort of a teaser for our next episode, but also end in an altruistic, humanistic, romantic kind of way. It also is, to me, it is something we are meant to do. It is built in our DNA. There were, you know, early people had absolutely no reason to believe that if they crossed that big body of water, there was something on the other side. In my opinion, that is almost even more risky and ambitious than our goals today, because we know where we're going to get. They had no idea. They were like, I just believe inside that for some reason there might be better things out there. There's something out there to explore and just and to discover. And I truly believe that it is part of the weird phenomenon of us being alive on this in this universe is that we are meant to explore it. And so with that, I wanted to use that as a teaser. Also, for our episode next week, we really wanted to take a look at, I guess, kind of the romanticism of NASA and the naming process and all of the hidden meaning and nuances of, you know, the name Apollo, the name Artemis. I think the list is pretty much almost endless in all of the little Easter eggs and nods. And like, I mean, they put a piece of the Wright brothers' plane on Ingenuity as an homage to a vehicle flying on another planet for the first time. And if you don't think that scientists are, if you think they're emotionless, you are so sorely mistaken. There's so much like it's what makes it worth it to me too. It's what makes us connect to it as an emotional human being. So we wanted to look at that next week and also give you fun facts and history knowledge. And I didn't include a giveaway today, but you know what? You still have the opportunity to go and get a free t-shirt. No competition required. So go find irockspaceradio.com and right at the bottom, it'll pop up. Join the crew club. Join our crew club and get a free t-shirt. Amber, I'm sorry in advance if you get a bunch of influx of people asking for t-shirts. And as a reminder, you can follow me as SpaceKSarah22 on Instagram, but then I'm SpaceKSarah everywhere on all the other social media platforms. Gentlemen, throw out your handles.
Okay. I'm just going to go. I run Science Actually. You can go to scienceactually.com. You can see links to all my social media platforms. You can go to Facebook under Actually Science. That's the biggest draw where all my science memes and articles go. And on Instagram, TikTok, Science Actually, Science Actually. And Kavi?
Yeah, you can find me at Fun Fact Science on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. If you're looking for some fun facts about science or some fun memes that are vaguely related to science, but will definitely give you a chuckle.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, find them. I always put, I have disclaimers on some of my social media. I'm like, no consistency in content here, because it's true. I'm like all over the place, but you guys are, you're hilarious. And it's, you stick to more funny science and science facts. So go find them. Thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone who has been tuning in and supporting, especially the newer listeners who both you, Ben, and Kavi have brought in. I really could not express more than what words can encapsulate how much I appreciate people commenting and giving suggestions and tuning in and letting us know what they think. Like, I truly, truly, truly appreciate this new audience, and it wouldn't be possible without you guys. And obviously we wouldn't have this show without listeners. So thank you to everyone. Thank you to IROC. And we're going to sign out. You have been listening to the Space Case Era show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on IROC Space Radio.